I am super, super excited to be here today to share with you what God's Word has to say. For those of you who've been here over the last couple of weeks, Renaud has been sharing with us through the Beatitudes, which is the beginning part of the Sermon on the Mount, the most famous sermon that Jesus preached, and it begins with the Beatitudes. And over the last couple of weeks, Renaud has been sharing with us that the key to understanding the Beatitudes is to realize that they are not simply just a few little rules for us to follow, but the Beatitudes is a way of life for the Christ follower. You see, Jesus had gathered together a large group of his disciples and began to share with them his way of living. The kingdom of God had come to earth in human form. And Jesus was saying, look, if you're going to be my disciple, if you're going to be my follower, this is how you will be. Not so much what you will do, but how you will be. And the rest of the Sermon on the Mount unpacks a little bit more about what we will do as a result of how we will be. So as we jump into Matthew chapter 5, if you want to turn with me to Matthew chapter 5, it's on page 716 of our Mosaic Bibles. We'll jump in and see a little bit more about how we should be. I lied when I said 716. Matthew chapter 5 is on 671. Let's try that again. We're going to go to 617 later, so you can keep your finger there. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 says, now when he saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And last week, Renaud shared, for those of you who were here, you'll remember this, but last week, Renaud shared just as he was getting ready to share about being poor in spirit. He was getting ready to come here and felt confident that he was going to be able to bring the Word of God and deliver a message that would be impactful to all of us. And as he's getting ready and preparing, he has a moment, a kind of a crazy moment where his little three-year-old son is saying, Daddy, let me go to the bathroom, as he's peeing all over the floor. And Renaud is like, you know, what am I going to do? Here I am. I'm getting ready to come and share the gospel with people. And oh my gosh, my kid is peeing all over the floor. And I don't know what I'm going to do. And God whispered to him in that moment, you know, Renaud, it's really not about you anyway. Because right off the bat, Jesus, what he begins to teach his disciples is, guys, from the very beginning, I want you to know this one thing. It's really not about what you can bring to the table. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It has nothing to do with physical riches and wealth. It has everything to do with a spiritual condition, realizing that there is nothing that we can bring to the table that is of value and of worth, that adds anything to who God is. And once we begin to realize that, something else will happen. The next verse, Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And if you look at that just at first, and if you're thinking in terms of, okay, these are little things that I need to do, it's very easy to be like, okay, well then I need to mourn so I can be comforted. Or you could look at it and be like, yeah, okay, so I get it. If something tragic happens in my life, and many of us, that has happened for me when I was a young kid, my father passed away, and I get this. I get the reality that when you mourn, there's a process that God will begin to comfort us. But that's really not what Jesus is saying exactly. Remember, the Beatitudes are not things that we need to just do. It's people that we are to become. And so how can you really just become a person that mourns all the time? That'd be pretty depressing anyway, right? You know, hey, how you doing? Oh, super sad. Why are you sad? I don't really know. Just very sad all the time because I was reading the Beatitudes and I learned that you should mourn. Like, those people, I don't want to be around them, first of all. But that's a little bit of it's a possibility. You could read that and be like, okay, I should mourn. No, that's not what Jesus is saying. Let's turn, actually, now we'll go ahead to 7:16. Let's turn to Luke chapter 6. The Beatitudes are recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. They're recorded also in the Gospel of Luke. And Luke gives us a little bit more of like a three-dimensional picture of what Jesus was saying. You see, the gospel writers didn't write down word for word exactly what Jesus said the whole sermon, because the reality is these people had come, traveled quite a distance to hear Jesus speak. If you read the account of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, it takes maybe 7-8 minutes to get through. Jesus spoke and taught for much longer than that. And so what we have are kind of the Cliff's Notes to what Jesus was saying. And in Luke chapter 6, we get a little bit better of a picture. As we read in verse 20, he says, looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Verse 21, "Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied." And here we are, "Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh." A little bit of a different picture. He continues on. He says, "Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For this is how the fathers treated the prophets." And then what Jesus does is he kind of puts a mirror onto the Beatitudes. He says, this is the type of person you should be as my follower. And then the mirror is, in verse 24 through 26, is kind of, it's the opposite. This is what the world will be like. The people who reject me, the people who don't believe in me, this is going to be your response. In verse 24, he begins to pronounce these woes. He says, "Woe, blessed, but woe, not blessed, are you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep." And what is Jesus, I mean, what's he saying? What is Jesus saying? We should be people who can't laugh. You know, we should be real serious all the time, because, boy, if I laugh now, I'm going to weep later. No, that's not what Jesus is saying at all. Thank God, that would not be a really fun life. I love to laugh. I think I'm a pretty funny guy. I'm kind of goofy, a little odd, a little strange. I like to laugh. I think it's fun. And the Bible actually says that laughter is like a medicine. So certainly Jesus can't be saying, don't ever laugh or you're going to weep later. There's something more to this. And again, as we go back and we think and remember that the Beatitudes are not just things that we should do, but the type of people we are to be, we start to understand a little bit more that this is not a physical mourning. This is not a physical laughing. This is not a physical comfort. There's something spiritual to this. And what Jesus says is, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven," setting it up, because each beatitude builds on the one before. So let's think of this. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the people who realize that in and of themselves, we have nothing. We have nothing to add or bring to God. Blessed are you, because yours is the kingdom of heaven. And on top of that, what that will lead to, when we understand how very little that we have to offer to God in and of ourselves, it causes us to mourn. Because think about it. When we think of who God is and how incredible he is and how awesome he is and how holy he is, we just sang, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." When we grab a hold of that reality and then we look at ourselves in the mirror, boy, what a difference. What a difference. And I don't know about you, but it causes me a little bit of discomfort. Actually, a lot of discomfort. And what Jesus is saying is, when you realize how incredible God is and and the difference between you and him, it should cause us sorrow and mourning. Because if we look back at our life, we know that all of us have done things, said things, thought things that do not honor God. The Bible calls that sin. And on top of the things that we've done that don't honor God, there's tons of things that we haven't done that we should have done to honor God. We have sins of commission, things that we do, and sins of omission when we know the good we don't do, or that we should do, but we don't do it. So as we look at ourselves in the mirror, we can't help but see the difference between us and God. And it should cause us to mourn that reality. And in that, something will take place. A process will be born in our heart. An incredible process will be born in our heart that will lead us to repentance. Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. It's on page 804 of the Mosaic Bibles. You see, the church of Corinth was one of the messiest churches of the New Testament. And the Apostle Paul had written them a couple of different letters, and this is the second of the two letters that he had written. And in his first letter, he's kind of harsh with them because they're a mess, like me, you know? And he's writing all these things saying, you guys are a mess, and you're making a mess of the gospel. You're making a mess of the church. You're making a mess of your lives. And then in 2 Corinthians, he kind of follows that up, and in verse 8, he says, even if I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, I see that my letter hurt you, but only for a little while. Yet now I am happy. Not because you were made sorry, but because your sorrow led you to repentance. For you became sorrowful, and listen to this, as God intended. And so you were not harmed in any way by us. For godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. You see what Paul is saying? He's echoing the words of Christ saying, look, your sorrow, your mourning has brought you to the appropriate place, repentance. And that repentance leads us to salvation. That's the kind of sorrow that God intends. It's intended to lead us to repentance, which is intended to bring us to salvation. Not to leave us in our sorrow, not to leave us in our mourning. That's worldly sorrow, because worldly sorrow is this. Man, I've done so many things that are wrong. I've made mistakes. I have regrets. I've treated people in a certain way that I know that I wouldn't want to be treated. And even people in the world recognize that. Even people apart from Christ recognize that there are things that we've done that we regret. And yet, when it's not godly sorrow, when it's worldly sorrow, and it ends in, well, I'm just sorry, that leads to death because there's no resolve, there's no forgiveness, there's no hope. The world has no hope apart from Christ. I have no hope apart from Christ. But what Jesus is saying is, blessed are you who mourn, for you will be comforted in me. In me. Godly sorrow will lead us to repentance, which will lead us to salvation, which will lead us to life. And that's what God has intended for us. And so as we get further and further into the Beatitudes, we're going to see more and more of what God's way produces. And it's always life and freedom. And the world's way, it only produces death and destruction. And that's why in Luke, he says, look, blessed are you who mourn. Woe to you who laugh now, because you will mourn later. You know, the world looks at their sin in one of two ways. We either look at it and say, oh, well, I don't know how to get out of it. Or we just laugh it off. I used to work in the car business. Oof. And now I'm preaching. It's scary. It should be scary to you. You guys should be frightened. But the truth is, I would sit with these guys and they would sit around just making a joke out of their sin. The adultery that they were committing on their wives, it was a joke. The substance abuse, it was just a joke. Lying and cheating and stealing from people was a joke. And they laugh. Woe to you who laugh now, because you will mourn. You know, at some point, guys, we will face God. We will. So today, blessed are we who mourn today. Because that mourning will produce repentance, which will lead to salvation, which will lead to life and freedom. Worldly sorrow brings death. Worldly laughter leads to later sorrow. Bad deal either way. Bad deal either way. And you know the beauty of this truth? Is that it's not a one-time deal. It's not like we see God for who he is and we see ourselves for who we are one time and we get the difference and we see the cross as the means that we can be forgiven and we cling to the cross just once and then never again. It's something that we get to do every day. You know, it'd be so easy for us to see God for who he is and to see ourselves for who we are and the huge gap between the two. And that sorrow would lead us to repentance, which leads to salvation, and here we are. We see the cross for who it is, or for what it is, and how big it is, and how incredible it is. But it'd be very easy for us to plant that there. We write it in the back of our Bible. This was the day that I saw Jesus for who he was. And years go by, and down the road, we kind of look back, and it's like, yeah, I remember that day. And the cross is still kind of awesome. It's still kind of big. But from miles and miles away, it looks a little bit smaller than it used to. But remember, the Beatitudes are not something that we just do. It's something that we become. So this idea of mourning and sorrow over our sinfulness, it's a way of life that produces freedom. And so we don't look back at the cross as this event that happened one day way back when. We continue on in the faith and we journey. And as we journey, we begin to see, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And that truth becomes more real to us every day. And for those of you who are like me, we see, I'm really not that awesome of a guy. And our depravity gets lower and lower and lower. But the beauty of that is that every day we live our lives, the cross becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. And we cling to it tighter and tighter and tighter. And in that, we will find comfort. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Let's turn to Romans chapter 5. I'll close with this. It's on page 783. Page back a little bit. As I read these words, I pray that each of us would see God for who he is, look in the mirror, listen, see ourselves for who we are, recognize the difference, that we would repent, and that we would be comforted in these beautiful words. Verse 8, Paul says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Let's pray.